It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Be sure to join us next hour for analysis on Super Tuesday results. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. Right now, though, we're looking at a person's livelihood in Wisconsin, collecting food waste from restaurants to make nutrient-rich compost and helping businesses move toward zero waste. Do you compost? Have you heard of the zero waste movement? What questions do you have about composting? And where do you put your food scraps? We're at 800-642-1234. Donna Yost owns New Turning Point Farm in the village of Crivitz in northeastern Wisconsin. She also owns Vermicopia. It's a company that collects food waste from restaurants in the Green Bay area, turns it into compost, and she joins us from our studios in Green Bay. Donna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, let's get right to collecting these food scraps and leftovers from some restaurants in Green Bay. How is it going?
Oh, it's great. They make a lot of food waste.
So take us on your journey of collecting the food waste. How many businesses do you go to? What do you find?
Sure. So we have five. There's Luna in downtown De Pere, Luna in Bellevue, Nectar, Glass, and Carvana. And most of them we've established where I can go and get the buckets without having to worry about when they're open. And depending on which location, there may be more buckets than others. It's definitely what they're producing in the kitchen, coffee grounds, things that go into sandwiches, bananas, fruits. Nectar is a organic juice bar, so they're doing a lot of fruits. And we weigh the buckets when we go to collect them, and then we bring them clean buckets, so we're able to track how much they're producing. It's pretty consistent. Carvana and Luna are doing about 300 pounds a week. Glass and Nectar, about 100 pounds. And then Great Harvest Bakery is also in that 100-pound range, so it's significant. That's every week.
So hundreds of pounds that you're collecting each week. What happens to this food waste at your farm? What happens?
So I have 1.5 million cohorts or minions. They're my worms. They're red wigglers, Eisenia fetida. They're the best composters, and they eat their weight each day. And the compost is in windrows, so because we have such a large amount, and I take it to them and they do their job.
And so they do their job. Like, what about the snow? Is this indoors?
It's all outdoors.
Okay.
The composting process, that rotting process, gives off a lot of energy. So the other day when it was like 20 degrees outside, we stuck a thermometer in there just to check the temperature, because the worms are very much like us in what the ranges they like. If we're cold, they're cold, and they work best when they're comfortable. And the compost pile, when we put the thermometer in there, was 75 degrees, even though it was 20 outside. Yeah.
So there was a lot going on in that compost pile. Mm-hmm. What is it like to keep up the compost pile or the system, or how much do you have to tend to it?
Right now, because of the weather, it's more about plowing to keep access to it.
Okay.
Once we get to warmer weather and we start to actually do something with it, it could just sit out there. We could just keep adding to it because it goes down as it's decomposing. But we want to take it to the next level. So we use what we get out of there in several ways. There's the actual compost, which is that nice black dirt. And then there's also worm castings. And the worm castings are the most complete fertilizer that's most readily available to plants. So when you're spreading it out there, the plants can absorb those nutrients immediately. There's all kinds of great microbial life in there. And it's great for soil tilth and the structure of the soil. It's just a superfood.
Yeah. So when is the superfood ready? How do you know that your compost is ready to be used for all of these other types of things?
So you would you can put it in your hand and it's very much like the dirt. The castings themselves, which is the worm poop, is different. They're much more granulated. They're going to be more like a coffee ground kind of consistency. And you can separate those out so that you can actually have just that as a dressing, like a fertilizer.
We're talking with Donna Yost, owner of New Turning Point Farm in the village of Krivitz. She also operates Vermicopia. It's a company that collects food waste from restaurants in the Green Bay area and De Pere, turns it into compost. You can join in with your composting questions, 800-642-1234. Do you have a backyard garden? Or if you don't, do you still want to save your food scraps for someone else to compost? Do you feel guilty about all the food you're sending to the landfill? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Donna, I want to take a look at these worms for a moment, these red wigglers. Do you introduce them to your farm? How do you get them there? What, or did they originate there?
So 10,000 years ago when the glaciers came, they wiped out all of the native North American worms that we have. So in the southern part of the United States where as far as the glacier push wind, there are native worms there. So everything in this northern part of the hemisphere are all introduced. Most of the worms came during the colonial period when people were bringing plants from Europe. They, in the ballasts of ships, they would fill that with dirt. And so there are eggs, worm eggs and worms in there, and those have got introduced. Today, you can buy them at a bait shop. You can get them from a worm farm like me. You don't have to have them. The red wigglers, as I said, are the best composters, but any worm is going to be doing the same process. They release nitrogen. So sometimes if you pick them up, you'll see they're kind of slimy. That's all nitrogen in there, and so that's really good. The bigger ones are going to help to break up soil. So if you have a lot of clay soil, I call them earth breakers. They're going to burrow through there and make nice tunnels to create air pockets where water and nutrients can collect.
And you're kind of curating your worm population, your worm helpers.
Mm-hmm. And they lay a mature worm will lay 2 to 3 cocoons a day, and there are 2 to 4 BB worms inside there. So they're really good at making sure that you have more.
Well, let's go to Katie now, joining us from Wauwatosa with a question. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, we have a compost bin in our backyard. We put our food scraps in there, but my husband also likes to collect the grass clippings when he mows the lawn and puts them into the compost bin. And I'm wondering how much grass clippings is appropriate to put in your compost bin?
My philosophy is put everything in there and as much of it as you can get. When you don't have worms, that slows the composting process down. So if you're finding that you have at the end of the season, because things do slow down in the cold weather, you can add some worms. You can put a cover over it. The darker the cover, tarp, then that's going to raise that heat and increase that composting process. But again, if you have worms, they have their comfort zone. They'll go farther down to get away from too much heat, especially in the height of summer. So cooling that down helps them keep that process going.
Yeah, and how about Katie's leaf piles? How do those help break down in a compost pile?
Oh, the worms love those. That's one of their favorite foods. And again, the variety of things that you put in there helps to create better nutrients from different varieties. So just like we want to eat different kinds of foods for our nutritional level, the variety of things that you put into your compost help to create a greater variety of nutrition in your compost.
Katie, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Bill now in River Falls. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just quickly by background, I work for a company that does corn-to-plastic technology for industrial compostable plastics. So I have some knowledge in this area, but for home composting, my question is, 75F is much too cool to control for pathogens. And I hear that's a concern sometimes with home composting. So how do you control for that? And do you avoid meat scraps in your compost if you home compost?
Great questions. Yeah.
I heard that can be a source of pathogens. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Let's start with the meat scraps. What do you see there, Donna?
Yeah, absolutely. He's correct. So that's generally the rule of thumb. No meat, no dairy, because that's requires different curating of the compost. And good hygiene practices are always important when you – because we, right now we're not doing a lot with our hands in the compost. But washing your hands after, you definitely don't want to be eating it, right? And those covers, you can raise that temperature.
In the covers, you're talking about covering your compost pile to control for that microbial growth. What can you tell us there?
So it helps to raise the temperature because the heat is it's not being allowed to escape, and it increases the temperature in there, and then kills off bad bacteria.
We're talking with Donna Yost, our guide to all things composting. She owns a company that turns food waste from the Green Bay Area restaurants into nutrient-rich medium for growing things like crops. Are you concerned about all the food you're sending to the landfill? Do you have questions about how to compost, especially during these winter months? Does your city or town have a composting program? How does it work? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Donna Yost right here on the Ideas Network. It's a conversation about composting here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So composting is an environmentally friendly way to create healthy soil for our landscape. And according to the DNR, more than 200 state-licensed composting facilities are in our state. So do you? What questions do you have? Join in 800-642-1234. Donna Yost runs a composting business in the village of Crivitz that works with area restaurants. And she stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Mary is in Oconto Falls this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What's your question?
I was wondering, I have a horse manure pile, and I'm wondering if I should add worms to that or not. And also, I have a question about coffee filters. I put those in my manure pile when I compost it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, you're doing all good things, Mary. And yes, you can put the worms in there. If they don't like something, they'll move.
What about those filters?
They're fine. They'll break down. We do that as well. That's part of the process. We're always trying to push the envelope to see what else we can add to our compost. And so we have little experiments running as far as parchment paper, napkins. Apparently the worms really love newspaper.
So what works well in a compost, and what have you found in your little experiments that just didn't break down?
So the compostable straws and spoons and those kinds of things take longer, but so far everything is going through and breaking down at great rates and looking good. Trying to get the right mix there.
Sure. Let's go to Matt now in Duluth. Hi, Matt. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've got some birds in the backyard, and they're great for gathering up eggs and stuff, but the other big byproduct that they have is lots of manure. And I know that it's too hot to put on plants. So what are the best practices for handling chicken manure and compost as far as material and timelines and stuff like that?
So I like to take my chicken litter and put it around my fruit trees then you're not you don't have to worry so much about it being directly in contact with your, say, vegetable plants. And the USDA recommends like 120 days before the last time that you apply any kind of manure dressing, and then when you harvest. And so by putting it around the fruit trees, I'm not putting it close to anything that's any kind of vegetables. Otherwise, you can just let it sit, turn it, and then once it breaks down, then you can add it to your like your vegetable plants or something that's going to be in closer proximity to something you're going to eat directly.
Matt, does that sound like a plan to you?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, Donna, what is the zero waste movement and how are you helping Green Bay area restaurants get there?
So zero waste, I feel, is an extension of the what I grew up with, which was reduce, reuse, recycle. B. Johnson really popularized it with a home blog that she started for her family in the early 2000s. And she actually wrote a book and with practical steps of how to do that. And she adds two more R's. And I really like these two R's. And zero waste is a philosophy. It's a thinking about your intention of what you're doing when you're purchasing and that life cycle of what you're purchasing or whether you're going to purchase. So her first R is refuse, which I think is a great way to start your philosophical endeavor in this. And her last one, which is one of my favorites, is rot. So it's a cradle-to-cradle philosophy rather than a cradle-to-grave, which is much more linear. And then you're just kind of stopping at the end and you're burying it and you're done. And cradle-to-cradle says you're going to think about what's going to happen at the end of this particular item's life cycle. And how along the way are there things that you can do to make sure by the time it gets to the end of its life cycle that it really is at a point where it's being utilized in every way. So in terms of rot, right, the food waste is returning back to the soil.
Completing the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Donna Yost, who goes by Farm Her Donna. She owns the compost collection company Vermicopia and a company that collects food waste from area restaurants, turns it into compost. With your questions here at 800-642-1234, are you composting at home? What are your questions, your challenges? Let's bring in Kelly now in Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I work for a company in North Milwaukee, the Horizon Home Care, and we have a green team, and as a part of that team, we collect all of the organic waste, so coffee grounds, orange peels, banana peels. We just have a receptacle, and people can put their organic waste in there. I then do my five-acre farm, and it gets thrown in a huge heap, which is our official compost, unofficial compost heap. And at this point, it's just a huge heap at the end of the, like in the spring, we usually take it and scatter it around the garden and then till it in before we plant. And I'm wondering how, like right now in this big heap, how to, last year, a bunch of vegetables ended up springing forth from the leftover compost. So we had tomatoes and zucchinis and eggplants all growing straight from the compost itself.
Oh,
so
wow.
I know that's not well managed, but I'm wondering kind of like how to get it going to the next step. What's the few things that we can do?
Well, I don't. I think that's great that there's things growing in there. So that is part of that heat process that we were talking about earlier and getting it up higher. To kill off, and then basically those seeds won't germinate. So I would maybe section, instead of one big pile, maybe have two piles. Years ago, I thought to myself, why am I dragging compost into the garden? And so I started a new process where actually I take the compost, and I like concrete block, and so I put the bottom row of the concrete block where it's the solid side out, and then put a row where the next row with the open side out, and then you can wrap that in wire if you want to for the critters, and then, you know, keep building up, it doesn't have to be super tall, but put that right on one of your plots in your garden, and you could divide that up since you have so much, so you could do like two or three, and then just move that each season to the next place in the garden, and then in that spot that you had where everything was decomposing, you've got all that great juice that's gone in there, you've got everything that's decomposed, and then whatever didn't decompose over the winter, you can start in your new pile. So you're basically just moving two walls over and then moving that all through your garden, and that saves on having to haul it over there. But I would split the pile up to make sure that you're able to get it hot, and then do put a cover over it to keep that heat in there.
Yeah, spreading the wealth. Kelly, thank you so much. Let's go to Judy now in Milwaukee. Judy, hi.
Hi there. I apologize. I tuned in late, but I heard you say add worms to a horse manure pile. And my question is, there's some research now being done saying that if you're adding red worms, you're displacing the natural species of worm. And I'm wondering if you have any comments on that.
So during the last ice age, the glaciers that moved down, they wiped out all of our native worms that we have here in the northern part of the United States and Canada. So we don't actually have any native worms left up here. But there is some controversy about that. They do talk about how, because the worms do like to eat things, that how does that impact forests? So there are some studies around that. So
we'll just kind of
you're not really displacing native worms because we don't have any here in this part of the world. You know, we're having them in our gardens and we're not necessarily taking them out into the forest. So I think that they do good things.
Well,
that's
Donna,
my personal opinion.
Yeah, Donna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. I appreciate it so much.
Donna Yost owns a composting business collecting food waste from restaurants in the Green Bay area, helping them move towards zero waste. She joined us from our studios in Green Bay. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.